May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Glory to God. Amen. This week, I took my 5-year-old son to his favorite pilgrimage site here in Jackson, the toy store. We were on a mission to get some things that the family could all enjoy over the month that we'll be here, this whole August. We are blessed to be with you all. We went and we got like a memory game that we could all play together. We got this little radio-controlled helicopter. It's the world's smallest radio-controlled helicopter. About this big. And we got a couple other little fun things that all the family could do together, including this little glider that my 5-year-old really liked. And as we paid and we were gathering up all the stuff, he handed me the glider. We're walking out of the toy store, hands me the glider. He said, "Daddy, will you put this under your shirt?" It's like, why would I do that? He said, "Because I want my brother to play with it." This week, we read about two different accounts of people who don't want to share their toys. People who want it all for themselves. Let's take a look at that first one. Jesus is speaking to a crowd, to a group of people. He's talking about things like God and healing and good news for the poor. It sounds like redistribution of wealth. So a random guy in the crowd says, "Here's my chance. I'm going to get Jesus to tell my brother to give me more inheritance." Now, regardless of the particulars of the brother's situation, can you see how inappropriate that is? Jesus is healing folks and giving them hope, and this guy interrupts to ask Jesus to play referee, to force Jesus into what family systems psychologists call triangulation. He takes a private issue between two people and brings in a third person. He makes it public for his own gain. He's looking out for number one, looking out for himself. After his initial shock, Jesus responds with a parable. It's another story of someone who is only looking out for himself. A rich guy whose only concern is how he can get more wealth. Mind you, the guy in this parable has so much wealth that he has nowhere to put it. He thinks, someday I will relax. Someday, if I just have a little more money, a little more wealth, then I can take it easy. Little does he know that he will die that very night. He has wasted his wealth and his time worrying about things that don't matter, much like that passage we read from Ecclesiastes today. The phrase that is, the word that is translated vanities here in Hebrew is hevel, and it can mean like a mist, something that you can never really get your hands on, something that doesn't quite matter. The man wanted all the toys. He was looking out for number one. I have a good friend living in LA whose name is Hunter. Hunter is an incredible guitarist. He's a classically trained guitarist, but he also works as a touring rock musician. He looks like if you took a young Orson Welles and had him join the Hells Angels. He's pretty like tough looking guy. He's got tattoos of his wife and his daughters on his forearms, so you can see him when he's playing guitar. He's also the music director of a church. And one day, while trying to describe the work of musicians playing together, he said, "It's not about standing out and focusing on yourself. It's about everyone playing together. It's less me and more we." Same goes for the Jesus way. It's not a me thing, it's a we thing. there's a contemporary painting of this parable, which is called The Rich Fool, which is a lot the way that a lot of people refer to this parable, The Rich Fool. But it's done by James Jenkins of Austin, Texas. In the painting, there's a man alone in a gigantic house that is bordered and filled with luxury items. Electronics, jewelry, a treadmill that's probably not used, fancy appliances, and all these things are depicted in a lifeless gray. Next door, there is a family packed into a tiny house with little food on the table. And at the rich man's door, there is a naked infant. But the rich man does not see anyone. The rich man has his back to everyone. He does not see. Which begs the question, what do we not see? Do we see the 500,000 houseless people living in the U.S., or the 30% of folks who work in Jackson yet struggle to find affordable housing here? Do we see the more than 8,000 undocumented folks living and working in Wyoming? Do we see the string of mass shootings like the one that took 26 lives in El Paso yesterday, the Walmart, or the one that happened overnight in Dayton that claimed another 9 lives? Do we see it? Do we see how much we have been given? How much we can do? The difference we can make? All that we can share? Here, in this beautiful setting with the Tetons rising up before us, we see so much. We see the grandeur of nature. We see the biotic community, the connection of bushes and berries and deer and wolves and bears. We see the expansive history of the planet unfolding in geologic time. And amidst that bucolic grandeur, we remember that we are part of it all. Our lives are part of that infinite connection that stretches through this ever-expanding universe, through all space and all time, part of love eternal made known to us in a selfless man from a small town in a small and distant land who taught us to find our truest selves in relationship with God and neighbor. It's not a me thing. It's a we thing. Amen. Amen.